With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Today's program has been pre-recorded.
When Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Odyssey Station. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Hello and welcome, Delaware Valley. This is Matt Rooney on the weekend edition of the Dom Giordano program. A pleasure to be with you on 1210 WPHT. Back for more interesting topics, even more interesting conversation, and a little bit of fun here and there. If you want to get in on the conversation today, you know the number, 855-839-1210, and I am joined, of course, by the legendary Dom Giordano. Dom, great to see you, my friend.
I don't know if legends respond to things like that. Yes, thank you, Matt, very much for that.
I don't think you have to. You just could have said, yeah, nice to see you too, Matt. That's it. That's all
hey,
I know.
Rose says, I heard that. She listens more. She's at home now. Called a legend. Put out the trash, please. Come on. Just take out the trash. But it's raining out. So much the better. It'll douse you of all that stuff.
My wife always says that to me when I tell her some kind of good news or I'm a lawyer
yeah,
so I win a case
trash.
Or something. She says, oh, that's good. And I said, that's all I get. And she said, your head's big enough. You don't need any help from me. You already have trouble wearing hats.
Yeah, Dom, I don't think you should acknowledge it. When you get called a legend, you just say, yeah, okay. How you doing? Okay. Nice to see you.
the legend in my mind, at least, Dom Giordano. Dom, good to
Thank
see you,
Thank you very
friend.
Much. Thank you.
And, of course, producer Dan. Dan, how are you, sir?
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I'm happy to have a little bit of actual summer weather this weekend. I think I'm going to make my first sojourn to the Jersey Shore. Didn't make it last weekend because of the rain out. Getting stuck in a house with a toddler at the beach. A little brutal. But this weekend, I think we're going
to
make it good.
I'd like to see photos after Sunday to see how much sunburning or tanning goes on there. Just continuing that riff from last week, listeners may remember.
Yeah, there's an ongoing debate about whether or not I actually tan. I think we need to actually get some photos up on Twitter.
Yes, absolutely. Yes,
it actually happens. I might have to go back far enough to my honeymoon or something like that to prove it. But I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to do my homework this weekend, and I'm going to prove the legendary Dom Giordano wrong on this. Mark my words, folks.
Well, Dan is joining in with me. He's a skeptic too. I can tell.
Yeah, I saw some pictures. I did do some research over the week, and I found some pictures of a tanned Matt, so I don't know.
Okay, all right.
I think he might be, he might be right here.
The plot thickens. Dan's not a peddler of fake news.
No.
If Dan saw the photo, you can trust that it's the real deal.
Matt doesn't know my entire side of conspiracy theories yet, does he, Dom?
No, he does not.
The dark underbelly.
The dark underbelly of Dan.
All right, so the conclusion of this discussion is that Dom is no longer a legend, and Dan is now the legend.
Way to kill the show, Matt.
Where did we get this guy? Do I have the hook here? What's going on?
God only knows. God only knows. So we've got a couple fun topics to talk about today, folks. Maybe fun's the wrong word, because some of them may get your blood pressure headed in the wrong direction. But look, it's all important things that are happening in our world and happening right here in the Delaware Valley. And, you know, the one issue that none of us can escape, regardless of whether you feel strongly about it one direction or the other, or whether you're just tired of hearing other people talk about it, is masks. And in recent weeks, as coronavirus restrictions on both sides of the mighty Delaware River continue to lift, we know that the battleground has shifted to our kids. because there is still a mandate in place in New Jersey for children to wear them in school. But on both sides of the river, there is pushback beginning. I know, Dom, in the last week or so, there have been multiple school districts where the boards in those particular school districts have issued letters to His Right Royal Majesty Phil Murphy, our governor in Trenton,
right,
asking that he lift the mask mandate for our children. Now, many of these letters are coming from what we would call red towns. And by red towns, I don't mean that they sunburn, which is what I don't do. I mean red politically. They vote Republican. They tend to be dominated by Republican, the Republican Party when it comes time for the election. But they're not all coming from red towns. And there's some great examples in Pennsylvania. We actually have two Bucks County school districts. I think we got this news, Dom, on Thursday. Council Rock and Central Bucks school districts are now, for the end of the school year, and there's not much time left, we know. Your kids are already bouncing off the walls, if you needed any confirmation of that. But they are now lifting their mask restrictions for their students. It's going to be optional. If you want to have your child in a mask, if your child wants to wear a mask, you do you, as the millennials say. If you don't want to, you don't have to. So you have Republican places like Middletown up in Monmouth County in New Jersey saying, hey, Governor Murphy, unmask our kids. A few other towns are also chiming in. But you also have places like Council Rock and Central Bucks in Pennsylvania that, let's put it this way, I don't know what percentage of the vote he got in last November's election, but these are not MAGA strongholds. These are not the kinds of places that you would expect would be pushing back against the quote-unquote science that we have shoved down our throat on a daily basis from the left, that even though the CDC has moved away from suggesting these kinds of mandates, we still see our crunchy granola liberal friends in Wawa making sure they've got their 2-3 masks affixed to their head. So what's going on here? I can't get inside the head of a school board official, wouldn't want to. I know some. We don't want to crawl in there. But at the end of the day, folks, all of these individuals that we're talking about, your elected legislative representatives in Trenton and Harrisburg, your local members of council, your school board members, they are ultimately subject to you, the voters. And if you want the ultimate test for whether or not people are growing weary of these arbitrary, anti-science, transparently political regulations, which still exist in places like Pennsylvania, New Jersey, you don't need to take my word for it. All you need to do is look and see what direction the officials are taking us in places like Council Rock and Central Bucks. I mean, you might expect this from somewhere further out in Pennsylvania, Dom, but not necessarily in these towns, but they're leading the way.
And these are two of the most engaged, Matt, I would say, well-resourced, particularly Council Rock. Central Bucks has a big, strong teachers union who threatened none of them would come to school if they did in person. It is shocking to me, and to make the exclamation point to what you just said, to do it with only 5 days, half days, and all that left in school, I am thrilled by this. We're making progress somehow or another.
Somehow or another, I mean, it's progress that's coming about a little too slowly. But ultimately, I think it's a testament to the power of democracy. And we've talked a lot in recent months and over the course of the last year about what the state of American democracy is. Some people say that it's still going strong. Some people believe on both sides of the aisle that it's on its deathbed. But at the end of the day, even though this issue, masking, is being debated in the national discourse, it's still very much a local issue. Something like, you know, what our nation's foreign policy is in relation to Israel, that's something you can read about in the newspaper, but it's not something you see with an impact in your everyday life when you're driving to work. However, you do every day have to make sure your kid's wearing his mask if there's a mandate in school. You look out your window at your office and you see them walking to school in what's pretty soon going to be oppressive heat, wearing a mask. And there's no science behind it. So what's happening is the people are speaking up, they're voicing their opinion, and politicians on both sides of the river are having to respond. We actually had a rally in Trenton this week. I don't know if anybody caught it, But there were a few to several hundred protesters that were there in Trenton, in the streets, and they were challenging a bill to make many of Phil Murphy's emergency powers, which he's been wielding by executive authority for months now, to actually legislatively enshrine them through the end of the year. So it's an absolutely odious bill. But there were a few to several hundred people out there making their voices heard, and they were Democrats, they were Republicans, they were unaffiliated voters, and I'll tell you what, many of them were moms from the suburbs, that unicorn of voters that both parties are so eager to have in their camp every November, Dom. And what shirt were they wearing? They weren't saying, you know, to heck with Fauci. They weren't saying, we don't believe in science. It said a very simple message, unmask our children. So I think we know where the voters that both parties need are heading. And even politicians on your school board can see the writing on the wall at this point. So good on those districts. I'm glad to see it. I'm still, though, I'm sorry to report to you, Dom and Dan, still getting a couple dirty looks when I go into Wawa without my mask on. I think I went to a Wawa this morning in South Jersey in Camden County. There was maybe 30 people in there, and maybe three of us didn't have masks on. Don't call me a hero, Dan. I don't want to be called a hero, but that's the state of things.
It's weird. I had a completely opposite experience. I was driving down to Cape May County one day, and I hopped over into a Wawa, and the cashier actually told me, she goes, are you guys vaccinated? I go, yeah. She goes, well, you can take off your masks. Me and Maisie actually looked at one another, and we kind of, like, shrugged and left the masks on because we're so conditioned at this point, I believe, to wear those masks in the store that we're on the opposite. The person behind the counter was actually telling us it was okay to take it off, but we're so conditioned at this point that we didn't want to do it.
Well, see, and that's the fascinating thing. Not just the whole conditioning, but also, yeah, you're in Cape May County. And Cape May County, for those of you who don't know, deep red, Republican territory. So you'd expect that attitude to be present down there. But now that we're seeing it move into the closer ring suburbs, Bucks County school districts, that's how you know that I think the worm is finally turning. And I hope that Wolf and Murphy, if you're listening to this, I hope you're paying attention. When we come back, though, let's talk about another one of our fan favorites here in the Dom Giordano program, none other than Anthony Fauci, the New York television doctor who has been espousing all sorts of wisdom, and wisdom, I use that term very loosely, over the course of the pandemic. All of a sudden, we got a giant email drop. Couldn't find Hillary's emails, but we have Fauci's, and I think all of a sudden, some of the shine is coming off the coin. Let's dig into it on 1210 WPHT. Don't go anywhere.
Today's program has been pre-recorded.
Welcome back to 1210 WPHT, the Dom Giordano program, weekend edition. And I am Matt Rooney, your friend from New Jersey, proprietor of the SaveJersey.com website. And I am honored to be here co-hosting with the Dom Giordano, and, of course, producer Dan, talking all things South Jersey, all things PA, and stirring it up and hopefully holding those that are powerful to account. If you want to join us in our noble quest, you know how to reach us, 855-839-1210. Do not be shy. Well, I mentioned on the other side of the break that it's been a very, very, very rough week for our Faucist friends. And if you're not familiar with the term, I'm sure you're smart enough to string it together. Some people are Catholic, some are Jewish, some are Baptist. Many of your friends in the past year or so have converted to Faucism. If you sat down and actually talked to them about what they believed, it's pretty much whatever Dr. Fauci, Anthony Fauci, said on CNN or MSNBC in the past 24 hours. And they'll parrot it to you, and it's their deepest, most closely held core principle that dictates how they live their lives. I wonder, though, if that's coming to an end. And this is really, I think, one of the core problems with American politics in 2021. You see it mostly on the left. Sometimes you see it on the right. But it seems like as some of the traditional things that undergird our society begin to wash away. Less people going to church, which I know we've talked about before in the program. Less people living near their families. Many of them are now living in cities and they only see their families on special occasions or at holidays, if they're lucky. We're cut off from each other because of all these goofy pandemic restrictions. I think people become more susceptible to following these cults of personality. We saw it in 2008, Dom, I know, with Barack Obama, when many of his voters actually thought the man was going to lower the sea levels, which I'm still waiting on. I don't think it happened or is going to happen, and I certainly don't think Uncle Joe's the guy to do it. And most recently, we've seen it with Dr. Fauci, who, look, by all accounts, the man's not an idiot. I happen to believe that he's a little bit better at marketing himself than he is at understanding and communicating the science of these viruses that he's charged with being our frontline defender against. But I'm not here to disparage the man's intelligence. I am here to say that we now have thousands of pages of emails which dropped this week, and I'm sure that you are familiar with this story, unless you've been living under a rock, a council rock, or any other kind of rock. And these emails reveal some stuff that's quite disturbing. There's really no other word for it. I'd like to come up with another SAT word for you folks, but it encapsulates it. We find out that Dr. Fauci's advice that he's been giving us on masks, the origins of this virus, and a number of other topics, he thought one thing and said another when he was actually giving us advice. I also thought, Dom, and I'm sure you don't disagree with this, one of the worst parts of these emails is just reading not what he was saying, but some of the absolutely disgustingly fawning tributes that were being paid to him by members of the media and some fairly powerful and influential people who were treating this man as if, again, if you're Catholic like me, you might treat the Pope if you were talking to him about a particular area of doctrine. It's crazy we've come to these point. And these are supposed to be our leaders, Doc.
It is stunning, Matt, to see this. And all I can say is I'm friends with Rand Paul. When the next Senate hearing, you talk about a sellout for this. This is a wrestling match that's going to happen there. And which Democrat's going to tag in to try to defend Dr. Fauci will be the issue.
Yeah, I mean, good luck, right? Because Rand Paul is a tough opponent even on a good day when the Democrats have a defensible point, which it's been a while. But yeah, I mean, I think that's what's going to maybe begin to be the downfall of Fauci here. Is he going to be able to hold up now that we have his own words, which contradict his public advice? And I'll say this too, as we continue to keep an eye on the presidential picture down the road in 2024, our favorite governor, or one of our favorite governors, Ron DeSantis down in Florida, certainly distinguished himself as being the counterpoint to all of this nonsense. I think you got to say that Rand Paul is once again back in the mix. He was already a fan favorite of many Republicans, certainly many libertarian-leaning voters, but now once again, he's distinguishing himself as someone who's willing to step up and call all of this out for what it is. So, you know, let that be a lesson to any politician. Courage isn't just a virtue in and of itself. It's also something that actually in the long run is going to get you to where you need to go. But leading from behind, that's how you get lost in the pack. You distinguish yourself by being a leader. You would hope that that would be obvious advice, but it's not always. How is Fauci responding to all of this? Well, let's hear him in his own words. He actually says, despite what he put in his emails, that he still believes the idea of China creating this virus deliberately is far-fetched. Let's go to clip 11.
An email exchange between you and NIH Director Francis Collins, the email sent to you said conspiracy theory gains momentum. And this, again, was the idea of the lab leak. Those emails, though, as you can see on the screen, or I can see on the screen, was all redacted between you and Francis Collins. Yeah. Do you happen to remember? Do you remember what was in the email?
John, they only took about 10,000 emails from me. Of course I remember. I remember all 10,000 of them. Give me a break.
So, but to be clear, you're saying you don't remember, or you can't tell us what was in the body of that exchange.
I don't remember what's in that redacted, but there. I mean, the idea, I think, is quite far-fetched that the Chinese deliberately engineered something so that they could kill themselves as well as other people. I think that's a bit far out, John.
Far out. You know, and the other thing I got to say about this guy, why is it that every time when he's uncomfortable, he laughs? I think it's his tell. Some people have a tell if you play poker with them. When Anthony Fauci knows that he's been cornered, he laughs. So if he's laughing, folks, he's probably lying. Read the email. You don't need Matt Rooney or Dom Giordano to show you that what he said is a complete lie. Or let me be more accurate. He was either lying in his email that's been unearthed, or he's lying now. It's one or the other. He either believes there's a pretty good chance that this thing was manufactured in a lab, or he doesn't. And if we had a real legacy media in this country, instead of allowing Dr. Fauci to laugh this off, that would have been the follow-up question. Well, Dr. Fauci, were you right then and wrong now, or the other way around, sir? Which is it? I suspect what you probably would have gotten was just more nervous laughing, because there's absolutely no way to possibly explain this. And, you know, in his conversation on CNN, this is Fauci. He says, a lot has transpired since then. If you go back and do it all over again, would you tell her something different? Do you regret that? That's the question to Fauci. And he says, let's get real here. If you look at scientific information as it accumulates, what is going on in January and February, what you know is a fact, as get data, guides what you tell people and your policies. That might make sense if we're talking about, for example, whether or not this novel coronavirus survives for 14 days on surfaces or whether it survives for 14 minutes. I get that. It's something that we haven't encountered before. So the fact that a doctor like Dr. Fauci is telling me something in relation to that issue in February, but maybe has a different opinion now, nearly a year and a half later, that's totally logical. But we have more evidence today than we did back at the time that Dr. Fauci sent these emails, that there very well may be a link between the Wuhan lab and the genesis of this virus. It's time to investigate Anthony Fauci. That's the conclusion which I believe should be completely uncontroversial in this discussion. Whether or not you think that Dr. Fauci has been reasonable and measured up until now, or whether or not you believe that Dr. Fauci is a complete fraud, as I do, because I think the evidence weighs heavily on that side of the scales. This is a man who, more than any other in my lifetime, and I've been here for almost four decades, I know many of you have been here longer, has had a direct impact on the daily lives of every American. Businesses, schools, weddings, funerals, overseas travel, whether or not you could go and visit your loved one in a nursing home in Pennsylvania, New Jersey before they died and they had to die alone, either in the nursing home or the hospital. All of that comes down to the recommendations of this man. That is an awesome level of power to be wielded by someone who is unelected. And yet he has exercised his power over our lives. And Murphy and Wolf, and at least up until now, we see if that changes, Joe Biden has just followed it all unquestionably. Which brings us to our ultimate point here. Not only should he be investigated, but folks, it's time to reconsider whether or not our entire lives should be oriented by science. What do I mean by that? I'm not anti-science. I believe in evolution. I think the vaccine is a great idea. Even though I don't think it should be mandated, I got the Pfizer vaccine myself. It's none of your business to ask, but I have no problem telling you. But ultimately, the country and our states should not be run simply on the word of any one man or woman, whether they be a scientist, whether they be an economist, whether it be an educator. There's a reason why governors and presidents have cabinets. We're supposed to be looking at every angle of everything. And when you put all your eggs in one basket and you let one man make all of the decisions for our economy, for our daily lives, our rights and liberties, whether you could go to church for over a year, which, you know, in New Jersey, it's only recently we've been allowed back in our churches and able to sit next to each other and give each other the hand of peace. That should all be the province of one man's whims. And then what happens when you find out that that man may be a fraud? There's a reason why we have separations of powers. There's a reason why we elect our leaders. There is a reason why we don't have a king in this country. We haven't wanted one since 1776. So don't just let this stop with Dr. Fauci losing some of the shine on his coin here, folks. He needs to be investigated. He needs to be held accountable if what we think happened here happened. And after that, I hope you do a self-evaluation and realize that this has been the ultimate history lesson, the ultimate political science lesson in why this country was set up the way that it was and why we have a constitution. Because we do not live and die by one man. Unfortunately, a lot of people lived and then died under Anthony Fauci's suspect advice. Kids continue to suffer under these restrictions. And when we come back on the other side of the break, I want to talk about the war that's going on for not your children's health, but the war for their minds. And we have a couple egregious examples, which you're going to want to hear about. We are on 1210 WPHT. I am Matt Rooney in the Dom Giordano program. Don't go anywhere.
Today's program has been pre-recorded.
We are back on 1210 WPHT, the Dom Giordano program, coming to you this beautiful Saturday, because every Saturday is beautiful, whether it's rain or shine here in the Delaware Valley. I am Matt Rooney, and I have the pleasure of co-hosting with Dom Giordano, and we're talking about some very, 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 very important topics which impact your lives, political, cultural. No topic is too crazy or too controversial to dig into. So if you want to get in on this conversation, 855-839-1210, we would both love to hear from you. Something that I would be remiss if I left off the table this weekend, Dom. When we were getting ready for this weekend show, we got a little breaking news on Friday that I really think we need to touch upon and we can't miss regarding one of the hottest topics to come out of the 2020 election, the Donald and his presence on Facebook.
Yeah, and Matt, we'll get back to you. Just mentioned kids, social media, going after their minds. But Facebook on Friday announced its tribunal, those people that are this shadowy Facebook FISA court, said that they will allow former President Donald Trump's Facebook and Instagram accounts to be reinstated in January 2023. At the time, they'll reevaluate whether the risk the public safety of allowing Trump back onto its services has receded.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, this will prevent Trump from using Facebook or Instagram until after the midterm elections. How convenient. Facebook said there'll be a lot to consider when that happens. Quote, we will evaluate external factors, including instances of violence, restrictions on peaceful assembly, and other markers of civil unrest. If we determine there's a serious risk to public safety, we will extend the restriction for a set period of time, continue to reevaluate until that risk has receded.
It's a probationary hearing.
Yes.
That's exactly what it is. It's a criminal that wants early release.
Yes.
Facebook is telling us what the probationary hearing is going to be for Donald Trump, who at this point, by the way, you probably would have forgotten if you just consumed the news unthinkingly. He's never been convicted of a crime. He wasn't removed from office. He wasn't convicted by the Senate. Yet this shadowy organization, Dom, is still deciding whether or not he gets to interface with his followers. You know, I got to say this, and this is a can of worms, so maybe we should just drop this grenade and move on. But I am a free market guy. I am a proud conservative. I do not generally approve of government regulation, certain overregulation. But you got to think at some point that if these social media tech companies want to continue playing like this, they're going to open themselves up to regulation.
We hear that constantly. I only practice law without the degree. You actually do both degree and practice. And it seems to me they're a monopoly. This is a little bit different. And I don't know what other way you can say all you want. Well, you can go somewhere else. And there are fledgling starters, but Facebook has such an advantage that it's incredible, Matt, of what's going on. And again, they're not consistent. They allow certain people, certain messages to be out there that are toxic, but they're picking on Trump. That's what this comes down to.
That's what it comes down to. And I mean, for anybody who's out there who's a legal nerd like I am, look it up. There's actually two antitrust inquiries pending in Europe concerning Facebook.
Okay.
So, you know, Facebook and these other social media giants that are behaving in this arbitrary way, Dom put it perfectly, your time may be running out. So don't make the mistake so many other big businesses have made. You know, do the right thing so the government doesn't need to intervene. We don't want the government to come in and tell successful private companies how to do their business. But you're opening yourself up to it with this completely arbitrary nonsense. But nonsense is what we have to spend so much time talking about here in the Dom Giordano program, and certainly over at my little online outpost at SaveJersey.com. You know, a story that's certainly nonsensical that caught my eye in the past week, and it ties into what we talked about earlier with the left's obsession, Dom, with cults of personality. They've found another hero. I think the hero of last year was Greta Thunberg, the tyke from Europe who said infamously, how dare you, for destroying her planet, and became this instant viral celebrity among leftists who truly believe that the planet is going to kill us any moment now because we don't drive Flintstone cars. And now the left is moving on to a new darling. I don't know if you've had a chance to see this, but it really is something. There's a young lady. She is the valedictorian of her high school, Paxton Smith, and it's the Lake Highlands High School. I believe it's in Oklahoma, if I'm not mistaken. And she was going to give the speech that every valedictorian gets to give every year at their graduation. And certainly it sounds like she earned the right. She's no dummy. She got the grades. But she kind of flipped the script a little bit on the audience. And instead of delivering a typical valedictorian speech talking about her class and the future and the importance of studying hard and building a better world, it quickly turned into a rant on abortion. Let's hear a little bit from the left's new icon, Paxton Smith.
I have dreams and hopes and ambitions. Every girl graduating today does. And we have spent our entire lives working towards our future. And without our input and without our consent, our control over that future has been stripped away from us. I am terrified that if my contraceptives fail, I am terrified that if I am raped, then my hopes and aspirations and dreams and efforts for my future will no longer matter. I hope that you can feel how gut-wrenching that is. I hope you can feel how dehumanizing it is to have the autonomy over your own body taken away from you. And I cannot give up this platform to promote complacency and peace when there is a war on my body and a war on my rights. A war on the rights of your mothers, a war on the rights of your sisters, a war on the rights of your daughters. We cannot stay silent.
No, she can't stay silent. I am going to apologize to Paxton for one thing. It's Texas. I don't know why I had Oklahoma on the mind, probably because it was on TV the other night. So there's that. But that's the last apology that my friend Paxton Smith is going to get from me. There's so many layers of this onion that you can peel apart here, right? First of all, and this is, I think, an under-discussed point in reaction to this speech, which naturally has gone viral, and everyone on Twitter's talking about it, was trending, et cetera, and so on. You know, would you feel for her classmates, especially those that don't agree with her? And I'm sure they were in the audience. This is the biggest day of your young life. It's a seminal moment as you kind of symbolically enter adulthood. You're getting ready to leave the nest, go back to college, particularly when many of these kids have been locked down for a while. You want to hear something stirring and affirming. And yeah, I'm not saying politics maybe shouldn't even enter the speech a little bit, because politics is such a part of our lives right now, for good or for ill. But to hijack your classmate's day to turn it into a rant on abortion, I don't want to minimize it, but the word that jumps to the top of my head, Dom, is tacky. It was so tacky. But let's take what Paxson said and put it in a box, because there's a First Amendment. She has a right to her opinion, even though I think that she's got a lot of growing up to do, because she needs to learn that there's a time and a place for everything. Let's go over to, and this explains why I mangled the syllable, folks, because my mind is so full of these stories that I want to share with you. Sometimes you mix up a detail or two. I know you will forgive me. We're going over to the University of Oklahoma, so a little bit further to the north from the great Lone Star State, where, you know, of course, the context of Paxson's speech is Texas recently passed a heartbeat bill, which is going to restrict abortions after the moment a heartbeat can be detected, which, for those of you who don't know your abortion science, I mean, that could be as early as 6 weeks. Any man or woman who's ever gone to that appointment to see your new baby knows that from a very early point, that baby has all the traits of being alive, being a human. But we have another young lady, Kylie McLaughlin, okay? And she's lawyered up. Good for her. She's a former student, a former volleyball player, I should say, at the University of Oklahoma, who is suing over her exclusion from her team over her political views. This is from a Fox News article from Thursday. In court documents, McLaughlin said that her team was forced to watch the 2016 documentary 13th, which is about the incarceration of black people in the United States. The lawsuit states that a team discussion in June of 2020 took some shots at former Donald Trump and compared it with beatings of blacks in the 1960s, and that's in quotes. So, naturally, some social media craziness has ensued, and now allegedly Kylie has been told by coaches that, you know, she's just not a right fit for the culture of Oklahoma. Curiously, Kylie has not become a social media star. I don't think she's going to be getting any invitations like Greta got, and I'm sure Ms. Paxson got, Ms. Paxson Smith down in Texas. She's not going to be held out by celebrities as a hero of her generation. She's not going to get a book deal. You know, look, the bias in our culture, folks, you don't need me to be convinced of it. Part of the reason you're listening to this program is you're tired of just hearing the same darn thing all the time. You want a different viewpoint. And besides the double standard itself, Dom and Dan, this is what I find so disturbing about this story. Once again, the left is manipulating children and elevating them to the point where they're expected to engage in adult debates instead of us doing what we should be doing, which is offering our advice to them and our stewardship and encouraging them to speak their minds, but also know that there's a time and a place and there's a way to do it. And we continue to shut down alternative points of view. One of the things the left in this country used to prize was dissent. You saw it on campuses in the 1960s. What happened to that, Dom? No more. No more. Dissent is discouraged. You either speak the company line, the leftist line, or they have no interest in hearing from you. You may not even be welcome on your college team. Quite pathetic. Quite pathetic. So with that in mind, folks, don't go anywhere. Wait till the other side of the break. Before we leave you today, there is an election coming up in New Jersey next week, Tuesday, and there's a gubernatorial race. We're going to find out who's going to be the challenger to Governor Phil Murphy. But unfortunately, participation in these primaries, pretty abysmal. Let's talk about it. 855-839-1210, that's the number. I'm Matt Rooney in the Dom Giordano program. See you in a minute. Stay put.
Today's program has been pre-recorded.
Welcome back to 1210 WPHD, the Dom Giordano program, weekend edition. I am your co-host, Matt Rooney, along with Dom Giordano. It's been a pleasure being with you again on this Saturday in early summer, depending on where you mark the beginning of summer. Another controversial topic for another time. Give us a shout, still a little time, 855-839-1210. We want to talk to you. It is almost primary day in New Jersey. Not quite the Super Bowl for political nerds like myself, but a pretty big day on the calendar. And this year in New Jersey, it's pretty special because we're going to select between four candidates to see who gets to challenge Phil Murphy, Dom. And, you know, if you made me guess, and we were talking a little bit about this before the show today, I think on the Republican side, probably Jack Cittarelli has the edge here. He's getting a spirited challenge from Hirsch Singh, an Atlantic City millennial who's a perennial candidate for office, but he's banging that MAGA drum pretty hard. So I think it might end up being closer than some expect, but I think I think Jack Cittarelli's going to pull it out. He's the likely nominee. I'm not quite calling him presumptive yet. And between now and November, there's going to, I hope, be a very spirited conversation on another number of topics, but also specifically Murphy's record during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Before we go on to COVID, Matt, I just got a quick question for you. You mentioned MAGA Strong with Hirsch Singh. I've also noticed that as well. And Hirsch has been in the political landscape of New Jersey for a while now. Is that a sense that you've gotten from him in the past that he was as the conservative MAGA candidate, or is that something that's new this time around?
No, there actually, and you can look it up on SaveJersey.com, shameless plug. There's been times in the past where Hirsch is going on record praising Barack Obama and actually weighing in against the police, specifically following the death of Eric Garner, talking about police terrorism. So, look, I think in politics, especially when you're a young guy like Hirsch, he's about my age, he's in his 30s, you have a right to change your mind. But I also think, and this is just my opinion, when you're going to accuse somebody else of being an impure Trump supporter, which is the accusation that he's lodged against Jack Cittarelli and his opponents, then you darn well better make sure you're not throwing stones in a glass house. And I got to say, I think that's what Hirsch is doing on this point. You know, people have a right to change their mind. People maybe begin to see things a little differently. But ultimately, it's going to be up to you guys. You have to show up if you're a New Jersey primary voter and you have to participate. Your participation rates in recent years have been pretty abysmal. Let's look at the last gubernatorial primary. Jack Cittarelli versus Kim Guadagno, 2017, when we were picking Chris Christie's successor to take on Phil Murphy the first time around. Only about 13% turnout, folks. 13%. Not 36%, not 23%, 13%. That's almost no one. And the reason why it's so frustrating is because ultimately, we know that many of you have legitimate beefs about the direction of this country, the state, and certainly the direction of the Republican Party. If you're not going to show up and put your stamp on where you believe the resistance in states like Pennsylvania and New Jersey should be moving, then you've forfeited your right to complain about it. So by all means, do what you want to do. We celebrated Memorial Day last week. A lot of men and women have sacrificed over the years, so you have the right to vote and also the right to not vote. That's legitimate.
2 minutes.
But you can't complain unless you get involved. And the stakes could not be higher. You don't need to listen to me because you've heard it all before, but you know what's happened in these states in recent years. And in New Jersey, Phil Murphy, in the past week, has just had many of his most onerous powers legislatively affirmed by a Democrat legislature that just goes along with him no matter what he says. Either they don't say anything at all or they act as a rubber stamp. So get out there. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I never insult your intelligence like that. But inform yourself, make a decision, and start a conversation. And I guarantee if you do, in the future, we'll have the kind of pushback we need on both sides of the river to begin to get things moving back in the right direction. I'm not going to say make New Jersey or Pennsylvania great again. I'm going to say make Trenton and Harrisburg sane again. We got to start with sanity before we go any deeper. I am Matt Rooney here on 1210 WPHD, the Dom Giordano program. It has once again been my absolute pleasure to spend some time with you on this Saturday, talking about topics big, small, and everywhere in between. And Dan, it's pleasure being with you, my friend. I hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend. You earned it.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Matt. Thank you so much to the listeners. Coming up next, we got a little bit of best of and then reading, writing, reason coming up at 5.
Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll see you soon and get out there and vote.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.